Shall we pray? Lord, open our understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that as the word is read and proclaimed, we may receive wisdom to understand the gifts you have given us. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. God's word for us comes to us this morning from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus is speaking. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father.
Our second scripture reading today is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Back in June, I was downtown during the Columbus Pride Festival. While I was there, as you might imagine, I saw a great many signs, buttons, and t-shirts with social and political slogans. From slogans advertising products for sale, to slogans advertising free hugs. From real political campaign slogans to fake ones like Kenobi 2020, our only hope. From
really? I mean, honestly, that's not such a bad thing.
From merely liberal political slogans to genuinely leftist ones. I saw people claiming to represent all of us of the Christian faith. They carried bullhorns and signs like this one. The participants in the festival looked at that and yawned. They'd heard that before. I saw a church group marching in the parade with small hand-lettered signs that said, "Jesus loves you." That got some reaction. But like the corporate groups, they basically disappeared after the parade. They didn't stay for the festival. Or if they did, they weren't visible. I try not to toot my own horn too much up here, but I may have had the most controversial t-shirt slogan at the entire festival. It says, "This pastor loves you." I didn't originate this idea. I bought the shirt online after seeing a photo of a friend wearing one. All day long, I watched strangers' faces as they saw this shirt. Some made a point of looking away, but I could see tears or anger. Some people came up to me with questions. Some simply held out their arms for a hug. There were no words. The idea that a Christian pastor loved them apparently surprised many of the people who were there. We'll get back to that. Back in July, we began a sermon series on the great ends of the church. These are the goals laid out in the Book of Order, our church constitution, for what we're supposed to be doing here, why this institution called the church exists. They are the mid-stage goals moving toward accomplishing Jesus' commandment to go and make disciples of all nations. We've talked about proclaiming the gospel with our lives and using words if necessary. We've talked about making God's beloved community, where everybody who walks into our door can feel the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. We've talked about telling the truth, the most important truth there is, the truth of Jesus Christ and God's love for us and for our siblings out there, all our siblings out there. We talked about the maintenance of divine worship, about singing back to God God's own song of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. We've talked about God's vision for the world, a vision of peace and love, the kind of love that casts out fear. And we talked about that you can always affect the world, at least a 20-foot square area of it, by how we speak and how we act and how we treat the people around us. This week, we're talking about the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. Yes, we're supposed to be showing the world what the kingdom of heaven looks like by what we do and by how we do it. So, what does the kingdom of heaven look like? Does it look like rage and name-calling? The kind of rhetoric that goes with this sign? The rage and name-calling, I notice, is always aimed at people whom the speakers see as less powerful than they are. Women, racial and sexual minorities, those on the margins. Jesus ate and drank with women, with minorities, and with those on the margins. They were his friends. Sounds like the name callers aren't displaying the kind of kingdom that Jesus was talking about. Does the kingdom of heaven look like telling other children of God that God hates them? Or even that we hate them? There is a term in the church for a very specific sin, that being to slander God, to say false things about God that could cause other people to turn away from God. Things like, I don't know, that God hates them. That word, the term for that sin, is blasphemy. If people are told that God hates them and they believe it, it would be natural to hate God right back. Wouldn't you think? Scripture, though, tells us that Jesus came into the world because God loved the cosmos, the whole world, so much that nothing less dramatic would do. People are part of that cosmos. And every single person you see is made in God's image. Anyone who tells any human being that God hates them is denying this truth and contradicting Scripture. Jesus said that if anyone puts a stumbling block between other people and God, it would be better for them if a millstone were tied around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. Clearly, this is not the kingdom of heaven. And if we tell people that we hate them, then we have a problem. The Apostle John tells us that those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. After all, those who don't love their brothers and sisters whom they've seen can hardly love God whom they haven't seen. We cannot hate other people and love God, their creator, at the same time. Now, that's not the kingdom of heaven. Way back when John the Baptist was in prison, he heard about what Jesus was doing. He sent one of his followers to Jesus and asked, "Are you the one we've been expecting, or are we still waiting?" Jesus told the messenger, "Go back. Tell John what's going on. The blind see, the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. The dead are raised. The wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. Is this what you were expecting? Then count yourself most blessed." Every Sunday we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." The kingdom of heaven is the place where what God wants happens, God's way, where we don't get in the way. Jesus taught his disciples that if you get just a little bit of that started, it'll spread and take over, like a mustard seed taking over a farmer's field. God is not about hate. Anyone who hates other people, their brothers and sisters, is not part of God's kingdom. They are standing opposed to God. God's kingdom is about love. Love for God and love for our neighbors. All our neighbors. Love that actually does something. Love in the abstract, divorced from action, is a pale hothouse flower, beautiful in theory, but useless. Love that moves hands and feet and checkbooks, now that's something to be reckoned with. In God's kingdom, the first are last, and the last first. The poor are blessed, and they're fed. Those who mourn are comforted. In God's kingdom, the meek are the heirs, not the doormats of the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are filled. In God's kingdom, there is mercy for all, and all of us can show mercy to others. And it's possible for people to become pure in heart and to see God. God's kingdom will take over the whole world. The day will come when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But until then, it is possible for those who are citizens of God's kingdom to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. When that happens, Jesus walks with them every step of the way. And ultimately, they're okay. It is still possible for people who belong to God's kingdom to be reviled and persecuted and have all kinds of evil said falsely about them. But that doesn't change who they are. And it doesn't change the kind of place that God's kingdom is. We can see God's kingdom here on Sunday morning. Look around you. I've seen a lot of churches. It's preacher's kid, then it's pastor. I tell you, this congregation is something special. We are blessed. But Sometimes I feel like we're the best kept secret in the village. Our light is really bright under that bushel basket. My brothers and sisters, if we want to obey Christ's commands, and if, as I've heard some people say, we want this congregation of Christ's church to grow, we need to display the kingdom of heaven more widely to the world. We know that the kingdom of heaven doesn't look like mean-spirited people telling them that God hates them and they're going to hell. But we need to show people that. We need to show them that God loves them. And so do we. When we put up a free library, giving books to the community, we show God's love. When we let the school use some of our property, some of God's property, for a garden, we show God's love. When we work with them to make it all work, we show God's love to all the people who are affected by it. We are shining a light here in the village and on the west side with our love. I pray for all of us that we'd keep working at it, keep finding new ways to show God's love, keep turning up the power on the light, make it brighter and brighter. I pray that we would all get better at being that light of the world, letting our light shine throughout the village and the whole west side. Amen.